It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Eagles win, beat the Saints.
Whoa.
Ike, your thoughts.
Victory!
Woo! This is a good one. Yeah, you can tell. Well, Ike, it seems like we have determined the key to an Eagles victory. It's that I predict they will lose by 10.
Yes.
That is 2-0 so far this year. So Eagles win, kind of a shocking game in a lot of different ways. How are you feeling? What did you see? What do you come away with?
Well, I feel relieved today.
Yeah.
I do. I felt relieved yesterday. That game must have taken years off my life.
All of us.
Watching it. If I'm being honest with you, and you guys know, because you were the recipient of my text messages yesterday,
yeah,
I was not happy
during
that game yesterday.
No.
As a matter of fact, I was furious.
That's what it seemed
yesterday.
Like. Yep.
But they found a way to win the game. We'll comb through it. Not one of Nick Sirianni's finest moments as a head coach with some of those decisions being made in the game. Jalen, whether you want to blame him or Smitty, on that interception. Bottom line is, he threw another interception in the red zone. Fumbled the ball as well when they were driving and moving the ball. They thoroughly outplayed the Saints yesterday and had to come from behind, pause, to win that game. They did.
They did.
And it really shouldn't have been as difficult as it was. I asked for the defense to show up yesterday, and my goodness, they showed up and showed out. That defensive line, primarily the interior guys, they basically controlled the game yesterday. The Saints couldn't run the ball. Derek Carr turned back into Derek Carr that I knew from years ago. He turned back into that Derek Carr yesterday where he couldn't do anything through the air. Yet, we found a way to make this a difficult game. I mean, the Eagles moved up and down the field.
400-some yards of total
offense.
Repeatedly,
they moved up and down the field, and we had nothing to show for it. Thank God for Saquon Barkley. My goodness. By the way, did we forget he was on the team for the first quarter? Like, did we not realize he was on the team? Was he injured early in the game? I have no idea. He didn't get the ball to the second quarter. He only got the ball five times in the first half. No wonder we didn't score. And that play before the half? Are you kidding me? Going for it on fourth down? Come on, man. Come on, man. All right, I got a lot to get through, so I can't get it all done in one segment here. But, yeah, man, not happy. But I'm satisfied with the W. And we got guys dropping like flies, too. So I don't even know what we're going to have next week against Tampa. So we definitely needed to win that game yesterday.
Yeah, going into the bye, guaranteeing yourself going to the bye at worst 2-2,
yes.
I think we would have all taken as the season started. Not that, you know, it's different as you're going through it.
Yeah.
2-2 feels different sometimes than when you're projecting it out. But so I have a kind of a weird feeling on the game as – I watched all of the games last year, but I did not live through it in the same specific way that everyone here lived through it. I didn't talk about it every single day. I wasn't on the radio listening to you guys every single day. So the anxiety and
thanks for the support.
Yes. Well, I had other things to do, but the anxiety of the early in the year, they're winning, but it doesn't feel right sort of thing, I actually did not go through in the same way that you guys went through. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, I have to be honest with you, I was on a lot of levels thrilled. I did not think the defense was capable of performing in a game like that on the road against a team that, whether it's smoke and mirrors or not, mm-hmm. was still scoring 45 points a game before we got there, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the fact that the defense was capable of being that way, and even though I'm sure they'll have games throughout the year where they disappoint us and the other team scores 30-some points, that I could see during that game – a mid-pack at the end of the year defense made me feel really good. The fact that they were able to move the ball made me feel really good. And the fact that they had the resolve at the end of the game to find a way to pull it out when it didn't really seem like it. I mean, when the game was 3-0 or whatever in the fourth quarter, I thought there's no way they were going to win this game. Mm-hmm. And that last drive, if you had made me bet on it, I would have bet on a turnover or something. They're going to turn this over. But the two things, and finally, after all this positivity, I'm sorry for all the positivity, I thought to myself, as they won it, and as I saw the 49ers lose and the Cowboys lose across the league, I thought to myself that even the Tampa, who was 2-0, lose. I thought to myself, you know, the difference between the Eagles and the top of the NFC may not be as far as I thought it was. I thought they were a significant class lower, and I thought to myself, man, I don't know, maybe they're not. But there are two things that are going to hang over the Eagles' heads for the rest of the year. And it looks like it's going to be. It's that for one reason or another, resolve and locker room speeches and all of that aside, quarterback keeps turning the ball over. Whether it's a fumble or an interception, quarterback keeps turning the ball over. And we keep saying week to week, all he has to do is clean that up.
Yeah.
But eventually you have to clean it up, right? Yeah. And it hasn't gotten cleaned up so far. So I'm officially done with the it will be fine as long as he cleans it up. Now I'm just I'll believe it when I see it. And the other thing is that, and this is not defending Nick Sirianni's fourth down call at the end of the first half, because it was ridiculous. It was honestly ridiculous. I couldn't figure out even what the advantage of doing it was. All it does is potentially get us, I don't know, maybe one shot in the end zone. It was
an interception.
Yes. It was a risk for no reason whatsoever. But I look at a guy who, and I know this is going to sound like an excuse, and it's not, but the team this offseason decided to leave a head coach in a lame duck situation, and I think it has put him in a position where he now has no control over the offense, really, no control over the defense, really, no control over his coordinators, really, and he really has three times a game where he gets to make a choice. And I think there is something, he doesn't have any rhythm or feel, and I think there is something going into the fact where when these choices are there, he knows he will be judged by them. So he almost wants to put his imprint on the game so it seems like he's doing something. Because here we have a guy who, if they fail, he's definitely going to get fired, and if they don't fail, nobody's going to give him credit for it anyway. And I think the Eagles made a huge mistake in the offseason, essentially taking away everything he could do and then still making him accountable for everything that happens, even though I know that's the job. And it would be very easy for us to say, well, he should just sit back. Oh, and by the way, these fourth down decisions, the Eagles tell him, by the way, we have an analytics department that decision's made for you too. So you really have nothing to do around here. And I thought about, could I have two more minutes on this? Okay. So I thought about our friend Jack over there.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jack was hosting this radio show. You know, after John left, Jack was hosting the radio show. And then I come back as the lead mic, and we tell Jack, you're the third mic now, right?
Kick Rocks, essentially.
We didn't tell him that. Because think about, Jack now goes to where he has limited, less on-air input on the show that he used to have. Mm-hmm. But the whole time in the offseason, I'm telling Jack how valuable he is. You're telling Jack how valuable he is. Rod, our program director, is telling Jack how valuable he is. So Jack goes into this saying, okay, I have less input on the air, but I am still a valuable person. And if we succeed, my name's on it, Ike's name's on it, Spike's name's on it. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
But I ask you to imagine this. Imagine if I came back and I told Jack, okay, you're going to the third mic, but I'm deciding on all the topics, so I don't really want your help in deciding what the topics are. I'm not going to talk to you three times before the show. I'm not going to talk to you any times. And not only that, your top 5 at 5, I'm going to decide on the topics. I'm going to give you the topic, and you're going to figure it out. And that's the only time you're going to talk the whole show. Imagine the stress of that top 5 at 5. Imagine his desire to put everything that he has or every piece of creativity into that one little thing, because because he knows if it's not perfect, that's the only opportunity he has the entire show. And imagine if he got it wrong, what the top five at 5 and 5 would be like the next day. It would be even more stressful. So all of that I say to say, I don't think, you know, the job of a coach is to put your players in position to win, and the job of the general manager, the owner, is to put the coach in position to win. And I don't think they've put Nick Sirianni in a coach in a position to thrive this year. Now, all that said, he's making bad decisions, right? And that's what counts at the end of the day. And it's very easy for us to say, look, just you should be happy. You're a head coach in the National Football League. You should just be happy with what you have. But he's a person who has pride and belief in what he does and, you know, belief in his ability to do those things. And they've taken all of that away. So you can say you're lucky to have the job, but he doesn't want to just have a job. He wants to really be the head coach of the football team. And I don't think he is anymore.
Well, I don't understand where his role is much different than it was when they went to the Super Bowl.
Well, because he's not supposed to be talking to the quarterback, not supposed to be dealing with the offense.
But we know he does talk to the quarterback.
Well, but do we?
Yes. You think he doesn't say anything to Jalen?
I don't know.
He talks to the quarterback. He's just not overstepping his bounds. I don't see a different role than when they were successful. I don't. Mm. He didn't call the plays then. He didn't call defenses then. He was in charge of fourth down stuff. It wasn't until last year when things fell apart and he had to dip his toe back into the play calling that all this stuff arised. When in 2021, when he gave up the play calling, what was he doing then? He was giving speeches. I just don't see the difference in his role now than his role prior to last year.
I can't imagine being a head coach of a football team and not picking my own coordinators. I just can't. I can't imagine being the head coach of a football team and really having four decisions to make an entire football game. I just can't.
But it's more than that. He sets the culture. He sets the schedule.
Right. We say he sets the culture, but then after the game, who's everybody talking about?
I don't know.
The quarterback. Everybody's like, oh, well, you know, Jalen held us together.
Everybody was talking about Nick.
Right, but because they were talking about the bad things.
Yeah.
But when here's the thing. When everybody's talking about the resolve that the team had, mm-hmm. and everybody's talking about the fact that they hung in there and won the game, nobody's crediting Nick with that. Zero. No people are. But people are, and after the first game, who spoke? It was Jalen. And I give credit to Jalen for owning that, for sure. Mm-hmm. But also, this is the situation he's in. Again, I want to say, I do not agree with the decisions he made. I also am not even sure that he's a good head coach or not. But what I am saying is that he is in a no-win position. They won the football game yesterday mm-hmm. in a game that they went in to New Orleans, a team that was 2-0, scoring 45
Who
points a game.
Who got him ready to play this week?
I don't know.
He did.
But nobody gives him credit for that.
But that's on us, though. And that's on him if he can't handle that. He got them ready to play this week. He did. Jalen didn't stand up in front of the team every day last week, pumping everybody up. Jalen had nothing to do with the defense playing well yesterday. That was Nick who got them settled after a tough loss last week on a short week. He gets credit for that.
I know, but
I'm giving him credit for it. I'm giving him credit for it.
But the first thing we say is he made one bad call in situational football.
Well, yesterday, listen, he put himself in that position. Like, if you're going to make those decisions, you're going to get criticized for it. He made those decisions to go for it.
Well, for what it's worth, I only had a problem with one. Truly, only had a problem with one decision. But I think a lot of them were decisions to be made. And this is what we do with everybody: is you make the decision, and truly, whether it works or doesn't work is whether we decide whether it was a good decision or not. In most cases,
I think people have their mind made up about Nick, and that's fine. I've always been a Nick Sirianni guy.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Coach Sirianni. I think I can recognize areas that he's strong in and areas that he may not be very strong in. And if he has some sort of ego problem about credit, then guess what? He's going to be in trouble.
Well,
he won't get another head coaching job. Like, so if he can't be selfless and worry about who's getting credit versus who's getting the blame, then he's going to have an issue, because if that's causing him to make play calls in a game, then he's eventually going to lose out on that, and he'll be out of a head coaching job.
215-592-9494. Do you feel better or worse after yesterday? Jack, real quick, do you feel better or worse after yesterday?
I feel mostly better, because I thought they actually dominated the game, and like they should have won that game by more against a team that everyone was terrified of
yep.
heading into it. So I think they do deserve credit for that. It's just something still doesn't feel right. I didn't expect them to go in yesterday and blow the doors off the Saints, but like they were never going to do that. And I know that's unrealistic, but no. Can they just put together a full
haven't blown out anybody and they're 3-0.
Yeah,
I know.
They could easily be 0-3.
So I think it has more to do with watching the rest of the league yesterday than how I truly feel about the Eagles.
The rest of the league is in a weird spot, it seems like. They've hit parity. The parity the NFL wanted seems like, because even the Chiefs are 3-0. I don't think anybody's looking at to your point there.
They could have lost to Baltimore if his foot was in bounds and they went for two. They could have easily lost to the Bengals last week if they don't make that pass interference call. And last night they got away with a win because they didn't call
they're the 90s Bulls.
Yeah. They're just going in there and figuring out a way to win. 215-592-9494. All right. We have a lot of stuff coming up. Coming up at 2:45-ish, Nick Sirianni will speak, and we will air that entire press conference. I want to hear it. I hope he gets good questions. That's on you, all Eagles Insider of the Year candidates. That's coming up at 2:45.
Get the worm out and ask them.
Get it out of there. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Donovan McNabb joins us to break down the decisions, to break down Jalen Hurts' play. That'll happen at 4. And then the rest of the show is yours. Again, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. You can join us today all day, but then at 6 o'clock for the Brandon Graham Show. Talk about a guy who performed well yesterday.
He can't retire.
It's unbelievable. We're starting the BG Comes Back for one more year today. So that is today at 6 o'clock. Chickie's and Pete's is the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Pre-game, in-game, or post-game, Chickie's and Pete's, your destination for the Eagles and the return of Red October, which we know for sure. Hopefully we know the division tonight. Fingers crossed, Jack.
And a bye. Just get the two seed.
Coming up in about 20 minutes at 2:45-ish, Nick Sirianni will speak, and we will bring you all of that. 215-592-9494. You feeling better or worse after yesterday's game? Our leadoff hitter, Corey in Columbus. You're on WIP.
Hey, man, don't compare my boy Jack to no Nick Sirianni. My boy more important than that.
That's the point.
Agree, Spike.
That's the point. That's why we treat him that way.
Hey, but look, man, yesterday that game was like a range of emotions, man. You talk about all the emotions you could feel, angry, upset, mad, happy, scared, all in the same game, man. But starting with the defense, Vic Fangio, man, this is what we brought you here for, man. The performance that we did yesterday, the number one offense in the league, averaging 40 points a game, you know, that's what we brought you here for. Jalen Carter, Big Baby Davis, that's what we expect. What we saw from you yesterday, that's what we expect. So I don't want to see the game one and game two guys no more. Yesterday is the standard. The secondary, that's the standard. Linebackers, that's the standard. That's what we need to see from y'all going forward. Great day by the defense. Now,
I agree, by the way. Yep. I promise, Corey, I'll let you get to the rest of it. But one thing on the defense, that it was interesting that Bryce Huff only played 18 snaps yesterday.
Thank God.
The lowest on the defensive line. And it is.
Can we start calling him like Bryce Nnamdi or something?
Nnamdi
Huff.
It's amazing they have their best defensive game when their prized defensive, you know, signing for the offseason is not on the field
at all.
If
you go back and look, Bryce Huff started the game. And I think on like the first play, there was a run where N'Kobe like, you know, he stuffed the hole and then Kamara bounced outside, and Bryce Huff is like not even he worrying about running it with the rest of the guys. And I think Big Fangio just put an executive decision after that, like, nah, this dude, we got to get him out the game, man. It was like he said, we've been practicing this all week, and this fool still ain't listening. Get his ass out the game. That's how I feel like. Now let me get on the offense, man.
Yeah.
My guy Jalen Hurts, bro. Listen, dog, you got to stop turning the ball over. I don't care. Listen. I get some people saying the interception wasn't on him and all that. Listen, dog, you got to know. Devontae Smith, this dude is 125 pounds soaking wet. That's fun. That's a joke, y'all. I know he weigh more than that. But
no, not listen,
much. Barely. You're dead on, actually. Yeah.
Like, you cannot – like, we cannot keep doing it with this dude. Like we got to stop. When A.J. Brown is out, this dude is not a number one that's going to take over like and do the same stuff A.J. does. Like, we got to stop trying to use him like that. And it's like, he gets bumped off of his routes too much. And it's like, I'm starting, after I see yesterday, maybe Dallas Goedert need to be the number two. A.J. Goedert, Devontae 3. Because I'm like, come on. The fumble, what did you – I exploded on my son Saturday night.
Yeah. Oh, big pause.
Saturday night for doing that same fumble in the game. And he a big Hurts fan. And I set him down, and I rewinded it. I said, you see that?
Yep.
That's what you don't do.
Now, did you say it in that tone? Like, did you yell at him in that tone?
He did.
You said what?
I just wonder if you yelled at your son in that tone.
Oh, yeah. I did. My wife told me to calm down because I was mad at my son for doing it after watching Hurts do it. So I took my anger out. I'm like, you got to put the ball on with two hands. So, man, but Hurts, you got to stop. What if I – and what's crazy about Hurts right now is that this dude is playing the most efficient football we've seen him play in his career. He completed 71% of his passes, but it don't even matter because he's throwing the ball away. I think he might only got like 20 incompletions on the season because they either we catching them or the other team catching them. And, you know, it ain't no drops. So it's like, come on, dog. Hold on to the football. Play smart. We gotta get these turnovers under control. And if we don't, we gonna keep having games like this.
Yeah, Corey, it is. Jalen was the guy after the game last week, and all of the players said that his message was the little things and the details. And not every fumble that a quarterback has is on the quarterback. You get, you know, obliterated right from the blind side. Yeah. But that one, he was on him, and it was a little thing. It was when you're escaping the pocket like that, and you don't know what's behind you. You got to protect the ball, and he didn't protect the ball. You know,
exactly. But man, I'm happy. Man, listen, y'all know Jack know this. I was the first person to ever call my boy Ed Reed Blankenship. I started it. I'm riding with it. He the closer. My guy got the pick, baby. Tampa Bay on Sunday. Hey, insider of the year. A.J. Brown playing Sunday. Put that on your books. I holler at you.
Feels more like hope.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey. You know, what's the name? Reed Blankenship's doing it for the other delegation.
Yeah.
You know?
Take care of business.
Did
you say hero?
Play.
Oh, I thought you said.
What a huge play by him, by the way. I don't even know how he picked it off. I saw the replay. I was shocked.
I feel like every Reed Blankenship interception is the same. Yeah. It's always
the same thing. It wasn't an overthrow.
Underthrow,
overthrow, yeah.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring. For our listeners, vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Which do you feel more after that Eagles win, positive or negative? What do you think the percentage is at, Ike?
Positive.
You want to give me a number?
Yeah, it's probably 58.
74.
Positive.
Kind of surprising. 215-592-9494. Steve in Westchester.
We know
you're in WI.
Win.
Yes. Yeah. Until it's not. Yeah, until it's a loss. Steve in Westchester, you're on WIP. Steve?
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing? I'm here. Sorry about that.
It's all right. Wow.
Yeah, this is Googly Eyed Steve calling. I talked to you guys on Friday. How you doing? I wanted to talk about Devontae Smith. We can all agree he's a great route runner. Can catch the ball anywhere over the middle. But, you know, every time he goes deep and over the middle, he gets bumped off the route. You know, he gets bodied out of the play. And, you know, and both times I believe it led to two interceptions. You guys could comment on that, and then I have one other point.
Well, Ike, the thing that Corey mentioned there about – we all know his size. We all know those things. So is that Devontae's size is going to be his size?
Yeah.
Is that on Kellen and Jalen to, you know, or is it on Jalen to not throw a ball thinking he's A.J. Brown? You know, he can throw that ball that he threw to Devontae in the end zone and hope that A.J. Brown's just going to go up and get it. But Devontae's not that same guy.
See, I think Devontae just came out of the break too late.
Okay.
He spent too much time trying to shake the defender, and by the time he turns around, you got to flatten that route out, and you can't allow Tyrann Mathieu to cut you off. You have to go under him.
Right.
So that's one of those plays where, you know, these receivers, they don't run routes like they ran them 20 years ago. So there's a lot of herky-jerk moves when these receivers are running these routes. And if the quarterback is expecting you to be there, then you got to be there. So it's still in traffic. It's still over the middle. And I don't know if Devontae has the body type where he's going to out-muscle anybody for football.
Well, he's going to have to be a much smaller person if he's out-muscling him. What was your other thing,
Absolutely.
Steve?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think the coaches should put him in that position because he is getting bodied off the ball. In the beginning of the show, Spike, I think you said something that Nick didn't really have a flow for the game. I mentioned that to you guys on Friday, and you kind of disagree with me. I was wondering what changed your mind.
I don't remember what you said on Friday.
The game changed his mind. He actually saw another game.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not here to – and God bless you if you were right about it. I'm not here to not say something I saw because of something that you said on Friday. I watched the game I don't know that it's entirely flow. I do know that it seems, and I'm projecting here, but it seems like he is overthinking those decisions. That I can't imagine any world in which a 3-0 game at the end of the half with 13 seconds left and one timeout on the opposition's 15-yard line, that running the ball to the – look, a tush push wouldn't have made any sense, and what they did wouldn't have made any sense. The only thing that would have made sense to me, even though I wouldn't have done it, was if they threw the ball and threw it into the end zone or something because they thought they saw something and he wanted to get a touchdown. But I don't see how that ends up in a touchdown. If they had done that play at the one – would have made sense to me because I could see that play turning into a touchdown, or not the one, maybe the three or something. Yeah. I could see. I don't see that play turning into a touchdown there. So thank you for the call, Steve. That's what changed my mind was just seeing that. You know, so
I was seeing red yesterday.
No, I've gotten a lot of text messages from Ike in my life. Those were the angriest text messages.
Yeah, I was seeing red yesterday.
I'm glad we didn't do the show yesterday. to be honest with you, yeah, I. And what was it that made you the – I guess it was the Sirianni.
One before half, just it sent me over the top. It just sent me over the top. And I think he went for it on fourth down another time and didn't get it, or he didn't take the points. So then he had one around midfield where he had no choice but to go for it.
He had to. It was a fourth and four or something like that.
That's when Jalen got sacked?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Coming up next, speaking of him, he'll be asked all these questions. Whether he'll answer them or not, I have no idea.
We're getting testy, Nick, today?
But Nick will answer the questions. So we have the Nick Sirianni press conference next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. You can join Eagles fans at the Chickie's at Terminal E in the Philly airport before heading to Tampa next Friday, if you're going, for a tailgate at the gate party. That is Terminal E starting at 8 a.m.